A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the toughest, most important job in the world.
Four kids.
If you want to know what it's like to have a fourth, just imagine you're drowning, and then someone hands you a baby.
This is The Mom Show. It's where moms come to learn and share. Our host is Lindsay Ertz on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome on into the Mom Show today. Thank you for joining us. I'm really excited about today's episode to talk about an issue that is affecting the country right now, and that is the Equal Rights Amendment. There is a proposed amendment to the United States Constitution to essentially make the sexes equal. And we're going to talk about the ERA today over the course of the next hour. And talk about it in terms of what are all the nuances behind it? Why hasn't this happened yet? Why should it happen? Why shouldn't it happen? So I would invite you to listen over the course of the next hour and podcast this wherever you podcast. Just search for KSL Moms if you want to listen to the entire episode. We'll get into some of the history of the ERA too and how we got to this point in 2020 where 38 states have now ratified the ERA, and Utah is not one of those states. So we're going to talk about all of that as well. I'd like to bring in my guests now. I have three fabulous women with me. First of all, Representative Karen Kwan, representing District 34. Hi, Representative. Thank you for joining me.
Hi, Lindsay. Thanks for inviting me.
And you are proposing legislation in Utah to have Utah ratify the ERA. And so we're going to get into all of that as well. Also joining me, Amy Rich. She is the chair of the Utah ERA Coalition. Amy, thank you for being here.
Good. I guess it's afternoon now, right?
Whatever time it is, it's good.
Yes. Thanks for having me.
And Emily Bell McCormick, former guest of The Mom Show. She's been on several times, also with The Policy Project, a group advocating for different women's issues here in Utah. Emily, hi.
Hi, Lindsay. Thanks for having us.
Good to see you, as always.
You too.
Okay, let's dive into the ERA. Representative Kwan, I will start with you. Why don't you just tell me what the ERA is, what it does, and how we got here a little bit?
Yeah, the ERA is started actually a long time ago in the 1920s. What it does is, of course, it does seek to make sure that laws are equal for the sexes. And it's something that has a very long history here in Utah, but we actually have a longer history of having ERA in Utah with the language that's already put in our Utah State Constitution. And it's basically 24 words, right? So it's a very good message to put forward into our U.S. Constitution.
I can read you those words. The Equal Rights Amendment says, equality of rights under the law shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of sex. That's it. That's the whole thing. And when you look at this ERA on the surface, we've been sort of talking about this as we were prepping for this, and Amy, I'll pose this to you. You look at this and you're like, yeah, of course the sexes are equal. Why is this not happened yet? Why has it not? Why did it take so long to ratify? Talk to me a little bit about the history of the ERA and kind of how we got here in 2020.
Sure. You know, it is interesting that it's this is a special year coming up, considering when we think about history. 100 years ago this year, we'll be celebrating women's suffrage with the 19th Amendment, and how exciting that must have been for those women at that time. Some of them were Utah women who fought for that, and in a current climate that was really hard for them, and they had a lot of difficulty getting that ratified. But they did it, and so we're celebrating that as well. But those early suffragist movements were really important to get this started, because that really said women are important and women are valued. And I'm happy to hear that Utah were some of those people in the early fight. And so after that was ratified in 1920, the 19th Amendment, there was a continuation for not just a women's vote, but a women's voice and for women's equality. So Alice Paul, she took the Utah Constitution and the Wyoming Constitution, the only two constitutions at the time that had any kind of equality clause in them, and she used those to pen the Equal Rights Amendment. So that's kind of a fun connection there.
Isn't that interesting that Utah became one of the founding states in making the ERA a thing?
Yeah, right. Yeah. So she started that movement, and throughout, I believe, Congress almost every year, they brought it to Congress, starting in 1923, I believe. And in about the 40s, I think that there was, and I don't have all my exact dates on this, but the language changed. Because it was not, they weren't agreeing with it being so like women centric. They wanted it to cover all people. So that's where the more neutral language came, where it says on the basis of sex. And so in the 1970s, when Congress finally did pass it in 1972, at the time, both Republican and Democratic parties were on board and they were supporting this. And so they had a bipartisan group together. So when Congress passed that, it went to the states. And so in the Constitution, it says it gives Congress the authority to propose an amendment and the states the authority to ratify an amendment. That gives them kind of that even balance of power. Mm-hmm. And so in order to have it ratified, we needed 38 states or 3/4 of the states to ratify this amendment. So it started going out in that first year or two, I think 30 came on right away. They ratified, like Hawaii was in like the first hour
right
after they passed. People were very excited and there was a lot of momentum for this. And as it went through the states, I think it got to the states where they had less infrastructure for women's issues. And that's where those states, along with the group that Phyllis Schlafly, I don't know if you've heard of Phyllis Schlafly.
The name. Mm-hmm.
She started it with a group called Stop ERA, and she was actually a lawyer herself, a professional lawyer, but she was telling women at the time that this would force them out of the home and started to use some fear tactics that took it away from really what it was. And those worked in states where people were afraid. And we didn't have the data we have now to know that those issues are not relevant anymore.
Right.
So it died, three states short of ratification. And it brought us back. It kind of left things for a while.
You know,
just sat dormant thinking that, well, there was a deadline attached, an arbitrary deadline attached by Congress that ended in 1982. So a lot of people thought, well, maybe we'll have to do this a different way. So they kind of let it go and moved on to other things. But there was an interesting thing that happened at something called the Madison Amendment, which was the last amendment that just was ratified in our Constitution, mm-hmm. the 27th Amendment. Mm-hmm. It is called the Madison Amendment because it was passed by Congress 203 years before it got ratified.
Oh, wow.
And when it got ratified in the 90s, this is an amendment that says Congress cannot give themselves a raise. They can give a future Congress a raise, but not their own Congress.
Sure.
So that makes sense,
yeah.
Right? But I think women were like, well, wait a minute. If this is just affecting a few people in Congress, we should be able to still ratify something that affects at least half the population or more.
Yeah.
Well, and so it came back to life.
Yeah. So, and that deadline is part of the issue of this whole ERA, right? Mm-hmm. Can we still ratify the ERA if that deadline passed 40 years ago? And that's part of the issue. Emily, do you want to tackle that in 2 seconds before we take a break?
So basically, because Virginia just ratified.
Yep.
So we have the numbers now that the ERA has been ratified, but we're dealing with this deadline issue. And so there are legal cases going on right now, and we'll see where they end up, hopefully within the next 2 years. Is that right, Amy?
Hopefully sooner than that.
Okay. Before
that would be better.
If we have anything to do with it, right?
Right. Okay, let's take a quick break. We're going to talk more about the ERA, more in depth, what Utah wants to do when we come back on The Mom Show.
You've joined The Mom Show. Being a mom can be tough sometimes. We try to make it easier. Here's Lindsay Ayres on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back into the Mom Show today. Thank you for joining us wherever you podcast. Listen to this entire episode because over the course of this hour, we are talking about the ERA, the Equal Rights Amendment. This is a proposed amendment to the United States Constitution that is aimed to make the sexes equal, for lack of a better word, even though a lot of us know that already, that the sexes are equal. There isn't a something in our United States Constitution that legally says that. And so the history of the ERA started in proposed in Congress in 23, and Congress put finally passed it in 1972. They put a deadline that then got extended to 82, right? Is that is that the right date? Yeah. And so not enough states had ratified the ERA as of 1982, and it kind of went dark for 30, 40 years until recently in the last 5 years or so, I think, with the Me Too movement and a lot of the you know, women's groups now being a lot more vocal, it's kind of got some renewed interest. And just last week, 2 weeks ago, Virginia became the 38th state to ratify the ERA. That is a very brief synopsis of how we got here.
Pretty good.
Right? But I'm joined today by three women working on this issue. First, Representative Karen Kwan of our Utah State Legislature. And Representative, I'll start with you. You are proposing to ratify the ERA in Utah. Tell me why you want to do this.
I am. A couple of years ago, I was reading some news articles about Utah being the worst state in the nation for women. And I was just thinking, well, yes, right, because we do have issues here. But what a shame that that's what our children are hearing. That's what our kids, both little girls and little boys, are hearing. And also what we as women hear. And I started thinking about how so many of my friends have said, you know, I that doesn't resonate with me. That's not the narrative that I would say. And yes, we have issues, but I wouldn't say we're really the worst. Mm-hmm. I didn't want that to be perpetuated. And so I started thinking, what can I do? What can we do as a state legislature to talk about the good things that we have done for women in Utah, and came up with these the history of Utah. I had no idea our long history with women's rights, starting from our Constitution, right, in 1896. And I mean, there are quotes back then that say things like Utah is the shining star. You know, we're at the crest of the Rockies, being the crown jewel for women's rights. I mean, we don't hear that kinds of that kind of talk now.
Right.
And wouldn't it be great if we did? Right. So I started thinking about what kind of message could we send to our to the women of the state, and then also to future generations. And last year, 2019, I passed a resolution that had in its language something that says that we, the Utah legislature, recommends that the language and intent of the Utah Constitution be included in the U.S. Constitution.
Mm.
That passed unanimously,
right,
through all of the all of the committees. And so what does that say? For me, that says that our legislators at their in their hearts believe in this, believe in equality, and value our women. And that is a strong message to send, not only today, but for future generations. And that's why I'm running ERA.
And a lot of people hear about the ERA and they're like, okay, let's make the sexes equal. And they're like, don't we already have that? Isn't that already a thing that we do?
That's why I got involved. I know when I heard that it wasn't part of it, I thought, that's a thing still?
Right. We're still talking about this 40 years later?
And three quarters of our population say that they support ERA. Many of them have that same question. What? We don't already have it?
Right. So talk to me, and I don't know who wants to take this, who can talk specifically. What does the ERA do, and what would it do in Utah if we ratify it?
So in Utah, I actually have a legal memo that was prepared for by University of Utah professors, but it was also looked at by our former Chief Justice, Christine Durham, who gave her opinion on the memo. And she said it was right on. The memo says there's not going to be any legal changes in Utah. So it does become more of a message bill, and that is what I'm looking at. It's a grand gesture for our generations now, but also for our future generations.
And because we have a Utah state constitution that talks about equality of the sexes in Utah, as I understand it, ratifying the ERA won't make any of the issues null and void. Like, there's this belief by some who oppose it, who think that ratifying the ERA could actually cause more issues for women, because if the sexes are quote unquote equal, then all the things that are offered to women, like equal opportunity and affirmative action, Title IX, those have to be then offered to men. And there are some laws that help women. Is that a possibility?
I think you're hitting on something really important there. And I think it helps bring down the fear level, actually, when you tell people this actually protects both sexes. Because right now, I mean, we're coming off of millennium of kind of women being a little bit, you know, getting the underdog in society. Mm-hmm. And I can appreciate, I know we've all had a lot of feedback from women who are kind of like, gosh, this feels like this big bra burning, something so extreme. It's just, why do we have to do this? I feel equal. I'm equal to my husband. I feel equal in my religion. I feel equal in my neighborhood. You know, I feel equal. But the reality is that the feeling of equality is not actually equality. It's a metric, right? Equality is this metric, and it's measurable, which is why Utah often comes out looking like we're at the bottom of the stack, right?
Sure.
Like, we know that we have a different, like, our pay differential is bigger than any other state. We make 70 cents on the dollar. So we look at those things. And I think one thing that's been calming to people is knowing that this also protects men. So for people who are very concerned about, you know, well, we also don't want women to rule over men, because that's an actual legitimate thought that some people have. There is a fear there.
Right.
The nice thing about this amendment is that it protects both, right? If for some reason in 250 years, women are ruling the world and, you know, men are oppressed, it doesn't allow for that, right? So men also enjoy the same protection because of the verbiage in the amendment, which is sex, right? It's dominated by sex.
Well, and I do want to get into the issue, too, of sex versus gender, right? Because those things aren't the same, and we know, we kind of know that now. But this issue, too, of could it open up more, you know, for example, legal challenges, things that are now constitutional based on our constitution would become unconstitutional if the ERA takes effect.
Yeah. And the actual legality, interestingly, with the ERA, it is buried so deep. It's so funny because it's actually outside of a lot of the fear tactics that were used in the 70s and a lot of concerns that people have today. And the actual legal change that happens if this amendment is ratified and put into our Constitution is that it takes gender to a strict scrutiny. So we look at things like we can't discriminate on the basis of religious affiliation, national origin, race. Those things are amendments in our Constitution as well.
Mm-hmm.
Gender or sex is not. So what it would do is it essentially takes this, and when a judge looks at it, to not get too technical, it makes it so that those cases are taken really seriously. So if I can prove, like, the reason that I was discriminated against is 100% gender. I mean, anybody looking at this can see this is gender. Before a judge, it was an intermediate scrutiny, the way that they looked at it. So it was kind of like, well, let's look at the case. Let's, like, see what you're saying. But it would move it to the strict scrutiny where when they look at the case, they say, we do not take this lightly. We look at this just like we would say, you're Jewish, you're being discriminated against because you're a Jew. It's apparent almost always you're going to win that case, right? And it would do the same thing with gender. Both sides, actually, you know, male and female.
Right.
It would protect that.
Again, it seems like a no-brainer on the surface, but then you kind of dig down underneath and you're like, okay, why would people oppose this? And that's kind of the main crux of it, too, is does this, in trying to make the sexes, quote-unquote, equal, actually do more harm than good for women who've come really far up until this point?
One of the things that I love about this is this conversation is helping people understand the difference between what an amendment really is as opposed to a law or a statute. What makes it different? They're not in conflict of each other. An amendment is actually the constitutional amendments that we have are principle-based. They're value-based. They are things that are important to us as Americans. It's a tool that we can use to then create new laws that support, in this case, women and women's issues, and men, too. Mm-hmm. But it can also enhance the laws that we already have, the good legislation that's already in place. And it can keep those good laws from being rolled back or defunded or watered down. Or in the case of like Violence Against Women Act this last year, that was completely taken away. And there, if an ERA was in place, that wouldn't have happened.
Right.
So that's the power of an amendment, is it's so much harder to change. It cements our value into the Constitution. So we don't have to say, oh, it's going to take something away. It's enhancing what's good, and
right.
we'll keep bad legislation in the future from happening.
But it almost seems like we need to make sure the language of the ERA, which I know is only 24 words, like so solid, so that it basically is based in principle, right?
It says, principle.
You know, the sexes are equal, and anything done up until this point is based on this principle, right? That the sexes are equal, because that's the kind of the point I'm getting at, is there could be these legalities.
Yeah, there's one other point I want to make, in that I think there's a misconception that this will somehow control people, and there's no way that this is going to get rid of bigotry or misogyny, and that's something else we need to work on later
yeah.
on, and that's what we can hope we can continue to work on. So it's not going to take those issues into effect, but what it does is it tells our government what we want them to do. The Constitution is we the people, and it tells the government how we want them to treat us and our laws and our families and our society. So we want them to look at sex as a class, like race or religion, as just as important as something to look under the microscope and say, hey, is there something here that how can we do better by people?
I think I got so involved in this segment, I forgot to introduce the other two guests.
Oh.
That one is, you're hearing Amy Rich. She is the director of the Utah ERA Coalition. And then Amy Bell McCormick is with the Policy Project. They're an advocacy group working to ratify the ERA here in Utah. And then Representative Karen Kwan, of course, our state representative representing District 34. We'll take a break. More on the ERA when we come back on The Mom Show.
It's the toughest, most important job in the world.
Four kids.
If you want to know what it's like to have a fourth, just imagine you're drowning and then someone hands you a baby.
This is The Mom Show. It's where moms come to learn and share. Our host is Lindsay Ertz on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back into The Mom Show today. Thank you for joining us wherever you podcast. Please go listen to this entire episode, because we are diving deep into the issue of the ERA. This is the Equal Rights Amendment. It's an amendment proposed to amend our Constitution in the United States that would basically deem the sexes, male and female, as equal. And again, on the surface, a lot of people hear this and like, we don't have that already. Like, I'm pretty sure you can't discriminate. I'm pretty sure that's a thing already. But our United States Constitution does not have an amendment that says you can't discriminate based on sex, although it does have we have policies in place and we have other amendments that kind of talk about discrimination, but not one specifically about the sex. So let me bring in my guests real quick. I have three of them here. Representative Karen Kwan. She is our District 34 state rep. Hi, Representative.
Hi.
And you are proposing legislation to ratify the ERA here in Utah. Now, just a couple of weeks ago, Virginia became the 38th state to ratify the ERA. Utah, if we did it this year, would be the 39th, unless someone does it before us. Why is it important for Utah to ratify if 38 states, the three-fourths majority, have already done it?
Right. First of all, yay, Virginia.
Yay.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, the thing about again, I came to this because of that national narrative about how bad we are for women in Utah. And I want to make sure that not only our generation now, but future generations understand that we have a history of being the, you know, one of the quotes was that we are the crown jewel of our union in terms of equal political rights. So I want to be a part of that conversation. So certainly that's a reason to ratify the ERA and send that grand gesture to our generations. But, you know, also we need to be good neighbors. At the time of our state constitution, they didn't just talk about we need to have this in our constitution. The reason that we were seen as such a leader is because we talked about being good neighbors to all of our states and to the women that are going to be moving or, you know, into other states. I know my daughters are thinking of moving. One of my daughters is out of state, and my other daughter, with my granddaughter, will be moving to another state. And I want to make sure that she has just the same amount of protections there that she does here.
Okay. So. And you're proposing this legislation. Obviously, the general session starts tomorrow.
Yes, we are working hard to get that message out about why this is important for us this year.
And a recent Utah policy poll came out saying 3/4 of Utahns support ratifying the ERA in Utah. So it seems like it has the people's support. Do you think that you'll get other legislators on board?
Yeah, absolutely. We already do have other legislators on board. Every single one of my Democratic colleagues have supported, said that they will support this. But I also have some bipartisan support as well. Ray Ward, Representative Ray Ward and Senator Kirk Cullimore both announced last week, I believe, that they are supportive of this. And I'd have other GOP legislators who've said that they would be supportive of it as well.
And do you have any conservative senators or representatives who have said, I will not support this?
Oh, yeah. We haven't, and we have open conversations about why.
Yeah, tell me some of the reasoning what they're giving you as to why they wouldn't.
We'd love to hear those reasons.
Yeah.
We would love to have a sit down conversation. So if there's any way out there, any listening out there, we would be more than happy to have a conversation if they'd allow it.
Yeah,
great.
So tell me some of the things your counterparts
actually,
are saying.
Actually, Amy is the one that has taken the brunt of those kinds of conversations. I think maybe she would have something to.
Well, what I love about this whole movement that is different from the past is that it feels so much more inclusive and bipartisan and positive, and we're bringing people in and bridging these misconceptions and trying to find common ground. And I've loved that process. So whatever happens in the long run with this, what I've enjoyed so much is the conversation and getting it out there, because we need to have these conversations. And this is a perfect opportunity to talk about the Equal Rights Amendment, to celebrate women, to go into this year 2020 with all these things happening and just see the progress we've made and keep that progress and that momentum going. So,
So I was just going to introduce you because I forgot to do that. Amy Rich is the chair of the Utah ERA Coalition, and Emily Bell McCormick is with the Policy Project. They're an advocacy group that is working to ratify the ERA here in Utah. Emily, let me turn to you. What is the opposition to the ERA?
So it's interesting. There's a lot of question around that, and a lot of it is actually based in fears that were planted in the 1970s. We talked about this a little earlier on the show. But some of these, a little bit of a misinformation campaign that went around back in the 70s. There were fears like gay marriage, shared bathrooms, women in the military. Now, interestingly, we all know the ERA did not ratify in the 1970s, and yet those things still came to pass, right?
Sure.
Like all three of those things exist.
Sure.
And I think we, you know, generally society would agree that we're all doing okay and that life has worked out okay.
Right.
So because of that, we know that the ERA was not directly related to those. Abortion is also another big fear. That's something that's actually already protected in the Constitution, right? It's privacy law.
Right.
So a lot of people now will say, well, we don't want abortion on every corner. Actually, abortion is legal in the United States of America. We don't have it on every corner. That would not change by this law does not allow that.
Right. But there's some abortion advocates who say that ratifying the ERA, if abortion is legal and it's provided for women, does it also have to be provided for men? Is that what it means?
So can a man have an abortion? That's what I'm curious about.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, again, it sounds like a silly thing to say. Yes, we have to provide abortions for men, but that's kind of the opposition. Like the one big thing I'm seeing is where everything has to be equal, and even something like an abortion where it's not physically possible for men to get an abortion.
Yeah, I think you're hitting on an interesting thing there, which is biology, right?
Yeah.
Because there's a big difference between, we say that it's basically a protection that the law, regardless of your sex, you will be treated the same under the law. Well, we have these biological differences that we all just have.
Right.
They're not changing. They're just, that's what we are. Right. So I think that is something that will be worked out over time. But to your point earlier, we have a whole bunch of laws that protect that allow for equality. And we've been able to work with those nuances of biology. So I have no doubt that those will be worked out. I think right now that is where some points of confusion are. But one thing for the general population, for all of us, for me, for everyone to understand is that is true of every law. Any law we put in place, we are not 100% true what the trajectory will be, but we just look at it and try to make it the best policy that it can be and move forward from there. And that is what this is. That's what the ERA is. It's right. good policy.
And I believe that the Supreme Court has already ruled on based on that strict scrutiny law that says that when there are differences within biology and there's reasons to separate and have separate laws, then they have upheld those.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Right. Because there's kind of this notion of like, well, can this just undo everything we've done thus far?
There is that right now at the intermediate scrutiny level that they use. It usually goes about 50-50. That's the level of where those court cases are won. But if it's at a strict scrutiny, it's 80%. It's not 100%. That means there's room for that, looking at what's the best for this individual
or the interpretation. Yeah. Okay. Amy Rich is the chair of the Utah ERA. I'm also joined by Karen Kwan. She is a representative for District 34, and Emily Bell McCormick with the Policy Project. We'll take a break. One final segment on the ERA when we come back on The Mom Show.
Back inside The Mom Show. Dads are welcome, but moms come here to be heard. We're with Lindsay Ertz on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back into The Mom Show today. Thank you for joining me. I love this discussion we've had today on the Equal Rights Amendment. This is a proposed amendment to our U.S. Constitution that is aiming to make the sexes equal. So basically it says that rights under the law shall not be denied or abridged by the United States by any state on the account of sex. And yes, even though you think it's a thing, this is not a thing that exists in our Utah Constitution. The brief history of it is they tried to pass this amendment in 1972, or they tried to ratify it, excuse me. There was a deadline that lapsed, and now we've gotten to this point in 2020 where a few more states have come on and actually ratified the ERA. So it has 38 states that have ratified it across the nation. Utah is not one of them. However, Representative Karen Kwan, who joined us earlier on the show, she is proposing legislation in Utah, the session that starts tomorrow, to ratify the ERA in Utah. So we will see if that happens. But I'm joined today by Amy Rich. She is the chair of the Utah ERA Coalition, and Emily Bell McCormick with the Policy Project. And the two of you are working tirelessly to get this, along with Representative Kwan.
That is the truth.
We're all tired.
We're women. Tired.
We're moms.
We're moms.
We multitask.
We're so tired.
Exactly.
So tired. Tired, really, of having this conversation.
Let's just move it on. Can we just do it and move on?
Just be equal. It's just a thing.
Right.
Anyways, so Amy, I understand that Murray City recently came on board to say they support ratifying the ERA in Utah.
Yeah, so Representative Kwan is one of her cities that she represents is Murray. And so she was hoping that they would she could find out what the citizens of Murray thought about this. And so we were at the Murray City Council last night and heard public opinion and heard the council speak on this. And what I love about Murray City Council, first of all, they voted to support ratification of Utah and ERA. And it was an emotional, passionate meeting with a lot of people there, but it was so good to get those conversations out and some of those myths dispelled. But what I loved about that council, and by the way, they've got great leadership in Murray. I really see good things for them. But they are a very balanced, diverse council. And it's nice to see that diversity at the table, because I think that's what this is all about, bringing more voices to the table. I think makes us all more creative, more empathetic, more we have more ideas and solutions when that happens. So
Emily,
good for them.
Yes. Emily, you are on the front lines of working with legislators trying to ratify the ERA here in Utah. Tell me the biggest opposition you see from them, people who are not supporting this, and how do you dispel their myths? You talked about some of those myths, Amy, and some of the misconceptions about the ERA.
Yeah, that's such a good question, because as you mentioned earlier, this is a popular amendment. People want to ratify. The general population, we know about 75% of Utahns are in favor of it. The legislature is a different animal, and they really want to represent their constituents. They want to do that. But I think quite a few of them are around in the 70s when this initially came out and when there was more pushback then, right? A lot of fears, like we talked about, misinformation campaigns. And a lot of them are still kind of holding on to those ideas and feeling like there's a threat in ratification, in showing approval. But what I'm finding is
many of them are willing, once they get information, it's just like all of us. When we don't know everything about a topic, there's a lot of fear, there's a lot of anxiety about things, there can be. Mm-hmm. And once you have information and get it from a valid source, I think that a lot of those fears are kind of going away. And frankly, as they see their peers supported, they're going to be more supportive or feel the freedom to support it.
And when you say they see it as a threat, like they think women are going to take over the world and they're not going to have any power anymore? Like, what are we talking here?
Yeah, I mean, that's a funny thing. Okay, to everyone's credit, there have been laws that allow for women to get ahead. You know, there was something in Salt Lake County, a law that just passed where women and people who are minorities would have more access to business licenses.
Sure.
Just this little law. It passed. And I think to some of the population that feels threatening, right? Like mm-hmm. that feels like, oh gosh, well now they're going to get ahead. I'm a white male. I'm never going to get ahead. You know, and that's okay. Like my thought is we shouldn't discriminate against anyone.
Right,
you know?
Right. And I've heard some sentiments of, you know, men feeling discriminated against because of the women's movement we've seen in the last 5 to 10 years, men feeling like, I'm not the enemy here.
Yeah.
I didn't do this, yeah. right? But yeah. then being perceived as the enemy.
Yeah. And so I think we have to be careful because that is a real sentiment. And I think for anyone in this room, the reason that we love this is because we love equality. Mm-hmm. And equality denies no one. Mm-hmm. You know, equality is for absolutely every person. And that includes, I don't care what skin color or what gender, it does not matter. It includes everyone. So, yes, I think the legislature will be willing to do it. We just need to make sure that the misinformation is changed, that we can understand that this is beneficial to women and men, and it protects all of us.
Sure. Emily Bell McCormick is with the Policy Project, a group advocating to ratify the ERA here in Utah. Amy Rich is the chair of the Utah ERA Coalition. Ladies, thank you so much for joining me today, and shout out to Representative Karen Kwan, who is proposing this legislation at the state legislature. Any final thoughts you want to leave us with of why Utah should ratify the ERA and or why we haven't thus far?
I think I would want to finish with saying that I think Utah is an amazing place, and I want the world to know it. I want them to see that we have a great economy, and I want them to be willing, you know, we want the best and talented to come to Utah. We want to bring people here to share what we have. And I think raising the awareness that Utah is a great place for women and men alike and families. This is good for the economy. This is good for families. By lifting each other, we're better people.
Yeah. The rising tide rises all boats.
Exactly.
Is that what the expression is? Mm-hmm. Very good. Ladies, thank you for joining me today. I appreciate it.
Thank you,
Lindsay.
And we'll be back next week on The Mom Show.